2, Chav Zayin Amid Beis, 54. In the middle of the page, at the two dots, where it says, Zeke Kenas Nechosim. Okay, in the Mishnah said the following thing. This we started last time, but we just gave an introduction. We didn't get into it yet. There are certain things the Torah says you swear on, certain things you don't swear on. On land, you don't swear. On tangible items, you do swear. Like we said, if I say you owe me $100, you say owe you 50. As tangible items, you're called made them a mixas, you have to swear. On land, you don't swear. If I tell you you owe me 2 pieces of land, and you say, no, I only owe you 1 piece of land, so then the din is, in the Torah we learn now from a pasuk, you don't swear. Okay? You don't swear on land. But what the Gemara is saying now, what the Mishnah said, now the Gemara is elaborating where we learned it out from. In the Mishnah it said that if you're swearing already on tangible items, it's called Gilgul Shvua, they can roll over, or in English here they call it devalve. You know where the word comes from? Devalve. Devalve. You roll over the Shvua, because you're already swearing on Metaltalin, you roll over the Shvua, and he has to swear on land too. Okay? Or, as the Gemara is going to explain, I have a case with you now. Okay, now you're made the b'mixus. You're mid-half. So you have to swear. And I say to you, while you're already swearing on this, I want you to swear that you don't owe me money, and you don't owe me this, and you don't owe me that. So even that would itself would not demand a shvua. But once you're swearing, there's a concept called gilgul shvua. Okay? You roll over the shvua from what you're obligated to swear onto what you're not obligated to swear on, and you have to swear. That's what the Mishnah says. So Amr Ullah, comes along and says like this, Minayin the Gilgul Shvua min HaTorah. Where do we know this concept that you can roll over a Shvua from one thing to another thing? Where do we learn that from? So Ullah says, Shanama, because it says in the Pasuk, V'amr ha'isha amen amen. By a Saita, when the husband makes the woman swear that she didn't commit adultery, so it says, V'amr ha'isha amen amen. Now, before that, the Pasuk says, V'yishbiya eisa ha'koyen. The Kohen makes her swear that she's innocent. And she says, amen v'amen. So what is the double expression, amen and amen? So Tanan, the Mishnah says, what does this amen and amen mean? Amahi emeres amen amen. What is she saying, amen amen, the double expression from? So the Mishnah says, amen al ha'ala, amen al ha'shvua. Now, amen is again a double expression. By Saita, there's two things. There's a shvua that she's innocent, and then there's a curse that comes along with it if she's not innocent. That, you know, she dies and all that. So the Gemara said, the double expression is amen on the curse, amen al ha'shvua. Okay? Then the Mishnah continues. Amen im mi'ish zeh, amen im mi'ish acher. Says, amen that I'm innocent from the man that the husband says I was with, and amen from any other man I'm clean. The Gemara is going in double expressions. Then the next thing it says, amen that shalei satisi, that I wasn't guilty arusa when I was kedushin before the wedding, or nusur whether I was married, shemeres yavam whether I was waiting, you know, when yibum happens you have to marry the brother and it didn't happen yet, so that during that time from when the husband dies until the brother marries her does chalitza, she's called shemeres yavam. She's waiting, she's guarding for the Yavam. Or, uknuso if I was married in Yibum. Okay? So what does the Mishnah say? Amen means, from this man, from another man, amen, now she's married. Right? As we'll soon see in the Gemara. She's married when the husband brings her. But if the husband says, you know, I suspect that maybe you were fooling around with somebody before the marriage, but after the Kedushin. So she's an Eishes Ish anyway, right? So all these things, she has to do the Amen Amen. So the Gemara asks like this,
Hi Arusa Heichidami. What is this case of Arusa, of after the Kedusha?
If you're telling me that he warned her, not because by sight you have to warn the woman not to seclude with this man, and then you need proof that she secluded with this man, right? So he says, if you're telling me that the husband warned her, this is before they're married, but after Kedushin, not to hide yourself with this man, and then she comes to drink the Saita waters when she's still an Arusa. Before the Chasana, it can't be. Why? Vatran, the Mishnah says clearly, Arusa, v'shemeres yavam, a woman who was a Saita, but when she was an Arusa. Now, like this, like we learned, you know, years ago in Tamid Gemara, Kedusha was done 12 months before the wedding. Right? 12 months before the wedding, they did Kedusha. She's also to anybody. She needs a get, everything. But she can't live with the guy because she's not married to him.
She can do close to the lady?
No. But she can't. In other words, he locks her up. She can't marry anybody else.
Is it like engaged?
No. This is more than engaged. Hare amakadashusli.
This is the wedding.
No, nowadays we do it together. We learned earlier, today's wedding has two parts. Kedushin and Nisuin. In fact, one of the reasons we learned, why do you read a ketubah at the wedding? Why do they read the ketubah at the wedding? There's no purpose of reading ketubah at the wedding. To make a break between part one and part two. Part one is the Kedushin, does Arat Mekadesh Yisli. That makes her usher for the world. But he cannot live with him. In the time of the Gemara, that was done 12 months earlier. Nowadays, for a lot of reasons, we do it together. Wedding, Kedushin, everything together.
What's the second
part? Nisuin. Sheva brachas. And Yichud. And the Yichud, right, that permits the woman to live with her husband.
That's three parts.
No.
When the Kedushin, they can live, but Yichud is not a third part.
No, Yichud is part of the chuppah.
Can girl go into the room?
No. Oh, they can visit, yeah, but no yichud.
No.
In fact, by Sfarim, they don't even go to yichud. They wrap around the talus under the chuppah. That is the yichud.
Is that
what? No, not by Sfarim. Anyway, so what happens? A guy does kedushin to his future wife, and 12 months later, they get married, yeah? 2 months later, he says to her, I don't want you hanging, I'm, something's going on with you, with this guy. I don't want you to hang around this guy. 2 months after the Kedushin. They're not married yet. A month later, he says, oh, that's it, you're a Saita. I'm bringing you, I have proof that you were in the room with him, whatever. Okay? Saita. So the Mishnah says that Saita doesn't drink water. She doesn't have a din of a Saita yet. Why? Because by sight of the pasuk says, the lashon tachas ishech, va'at kisatis tachas ishech, if you fold around under your husband, she's not a husband yet, because they're not married. Yeah. The only kedushin.
Yeah.
So therefore, the Mishnah says like this: a woman after kedushin until the chasana cannot have a din of saita. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the Braisa says. The Mishnah, first Mishnah says, what's Amen, Amen? That you didn't do it now, and you didn't do it when you were Edison. Okay, you weren't married yet. So the Gemara says, let's analyze that case. He warned her when she was Edison, and now she's guilty Edison, there's no drinking. So what are you giving her to swear that she didn't do it earlier? There's no din of a Saita then. Like it says, Arutsu Shemeris Yavim, Lei Shaisis, if the husband accuses her but can't prove it, right? She doesn't drink the water, but leinaitalis ksuba. He can divorce her without a ksuba. Just because she's assumed to be guilty. My time away, so Gemara says, Tachas Ishech Omer Achamana. The Torah says you fooled around under your husband, which means you need to be married to be classified as a Saita. So the question is like this: what is the case of a Saita that the Mishnah says, Amen and Amen, that not only do you swear that you're innocent now, but you're innocent when you were Kedushin, by Edison. So Gemara says, Elot, we must say, the Konalei Kshi Arusa. He warned her before she got married. Venistera Kshi Arusa. And he found her secluded before the wedding. Again, when she was Edison. But, become Mashkele Kshi Nesuim. But now he wants her to drink the water after she's married. That means he warned her before the wedding not to be with this guy. He found her with this guy before the wedding. He married her anyway. We'll soon see about that. He married her anyway. This guy's a moron. And then he wants to bring her to Besdin, to the guy, to drink the water. So Gemara says, "Mi batka mayim." The water won't even check her if she's guilty or not. Why? Because it says, "V'niko ish me'oven." The pasuk says the man will be sin from his, be innocent from his sin. So, what do you mean? Huh?
The man?
Yeah. So, Gemara says, 1 minute. What does that mean? Why is the man guilty? It says, "Bizman sheish menuka me'aven." When the man is innocent, I'll explain this whole thing in a second. Mayin beit kenaisa, then the water checks her. Ein ish menuka me'aven, if the man is not clean from his sin, the water doesn't check her. This was a very funny water.
Very intelligent water.
Very intelligent water. The din is like this. Water can only check out the woman if he's also innocent. But if the man committed a crime in relations, okay, that he wasn't allowed to do, then even though she's guilty, the water won't do anything to her.
The crime would be in this case that he married her, even though he was
So now the question is not the crime, it's an aveda. Because once he accused her of being a Zaita, he's not allowed to live with her. So if you're telling me he accused her, he warned her before the wedding, then he accused her before the wedding, and then you tell me she drank the water after the wedding. He wasn't allowed to live with her as long as she was accused as being a Saita. The fact that he did, right, well, the fact that he did, the water's not going to check her anyway. So what is the case of Edison that the first Mishnah says, Amen v'Amen, that he's innocent now and innocent by Edison? Where do you have a case? Eli, we must say, you're right, Eliade Gilgul. Gilgul Shvur. The Gemara's question is, what was the Gemara's question? Amar Ullah, where do we learn our Gilgul Shvur from? So Ullah said from this din of Saita. Why? Because the Torah says Amen and Amen, right? The woman says Amen v'Amen, v'Amra Ish Amen Amen. What's the double expression Amen? Amen from this man, Amen from a different man, Amen that I didn't do it when I was Erisin. Okay, now the question is, how do you have a case of Eidus and Seita? If everything was done before the wedding, you don't give her the water to drink because she's not married. It says Tachas Ishech. You have to be under your husband. So we must say that she was warned Edison, then she got secluded Edison, and she drank it after the marriage. That also can't be. Because then he's also guilty. So the water doesn't do anything for her. So what must we say? Where do you have a case of Edison that she's swearing on? So we must say like this. The Shvua is only a now. But while she's swearing already, the husband can roll over the Shvua that she's innocent from Edison also. The fact that the Mishnah says that she swears on the time she was Edison, how is that possible? There is no case that a woman would be a Saita from Edison.
You mean so he warned her twice?
No. He warned her only now. They got married.
Yeah.
He warned her you're not to be with this guy. He found him with one aid or two aid in the with this guy. Yeah? Now he brings it to the Kayin. Nothing to do with before. Now if the Saita case happens, a normal Saita case. After marriage. He warned her after marriage. She's secluded after marriage. And she's drinking. Everything's fine. What is the Mishnah telling us? A new din? You know the double expression, amin, amin? That while the woman is swearing on now that she's innocent, the husband can roll over a shvua while he's at it already. He can say, you know what? I want you to swear that you're innocent from before also. He never warned her, he never secluded, nothing. He's just rolling over the shvua that she's innocent.
That's a sin for him.
No, it's not. He has a right to do it, the Gemara says. He can roll over the shvua, not as a din of a saita that she was warned and secluded and all that. Stam! He could say whatever he wants. He could say that you even, I want you to swear to me that you never did anything wrong after the Kedushin.
Why are you married with him?
And if she's innocent.
He's a moron, I said. Huh? He's a moron.
If she's innocent now and not before, are the man going to check her? Is the man going to check her?
It has nothing to do with the saita waters. The saita water is only checking her now.
So
he only wants her to swear that she was innocent before. It's not going to check. Again, the Saita story has nothing to do with before the Chasana. The Saita case that she's coming to the Kohen is a Saita post-wedding. Okay? But what does it say? He can still make her swear through Gilgul that she was innocent from before also. It had nothing to do with Saita.
Right. So the Gemara is trying to prove...
He can make a swear, according to this, that you didn't owe me any money from before.
Basically
that you went
one,
to them...
Basically, buy one, get one free.
Yeah.
You can piggyback...
You can piggyback whatever you want. That's the concept of the Gilgul Shvuah.
But this is... Here, the pastor is talking about Sota. How do you learn it for something else that you could do Gilgul?
Oh, one second. So the Gemara asks your question. Ashkechan Saita the Isura. There's what's called Mammon and Isir. Mammon is monetary things. Isir is Asir Mutter. Now, there's a rule in Halacha, you don't learn out Mammon from Isir and Isir from Mammon. Because they're different. The rules of Mammon, money, don't apply to Isser. The rules of Isser and Heter don't apply to Mammon. It's different worlds. So the Gemara is asking what you asked. Okay. We learn out Saita that you can do a Gilgul Shvua by Saita. How do I know by money? That means if we're arguing about money, I can make you swear about different money. That you can't learn out from Saita. One is Mammon, one is Isser. How do I know that in other places in Taita, you can also force a Gilgul Shvua? Saita is only Isser and Heter. How do I know? The Gemara says, Mamayna minolon. How do I know Mammon? You can't do it one thing from the next. So the Gemara says like this. Tana devei Rabbi Shmuel, Kalvachemer, it's a Kalvachemer. That means, if Saita can have a Gilgul, money for sure could have a Gilgul. Why? The Gemara says like this. What's a kavachemer? Or ma seita? What a seita? Shalei nit and hitava be'ed echad. You cannot be extracted an oath by a single witness in a second. Megalgul and you can do gilgul. Mamen shenit and hitava be'ed echad. Money that could be claimed with only one witness. Ain't a din she megalgulin? The Gemara says like this. Saita, in order to her to drink the water, you need two witnesses to testify that she was secluded with the guy. In order for Saita to have to swear and drink the water and everything, the warning is by the husband himself. The husband says, I don't want you to be with this guy. And then two witnesses found the they don't know that she committed adultery. Because if their mamash saw, that's a different story. But they saw there's, you need two witnesses. Okay? One witness will not create a Saita. That means what happens, the husband warns the woman, you cannot be with this guy. Okay? And only one witness saw them together. There's no Saita. You need two.
This involves death penalty, ultimately. That's why?
No, because we'll see you in a second. But the bottom line is, Saita needs two witnesses to make it happen. Okay? Yet, you can make a Gilgul Shvuah. You can roll over the shvua. Money that has a power with one witness, so meaning money is stronger than Saita. Saita needs two witnesses to make it happen. Money can even happen with one witness, so for sure you can roll over a shvua by money. If Saita is weaker and you can roll over a shvua, money which is even stronger than Saita, because even one witness can extract money, we'll soon see what that means. So for sure you can do Gilgul Shvua. Now, how does one witness extract money? No, you need two. But you still, he can make you swear. And remember we learned, last time we discussed, and if you can't swear, then you have to pay.
You make a dependent swear.
Yeah. So he says like this, money, in monetary issues, one witness has power. He can make you swear. And if you can't swear, you have to pay money. So he says like this, Saita is weaker. It needs two witnesses to make it happen. Yet, you could do Gilgul, so money, which is stronger than Saita, because even one witness makes it happen, for sure, you would need to do a Gilgul Shvur. So the Gemara says like this, we learn it out from Saita. Ah, you're asking, you can't learn out Mammon from Isser, but here you have a Kal V'chomer. The Kal V'chomer helps that we could learn out money from Isser. Normally, you can't learn out money from Isser. But monetary things from Isser and Hatter. But when there's a Kal V'chomer, then you could. And therefore the Gemara says, meanwhile, Ulla says, this is where we learn out Gilgul Shvur.
Why don't you say by Sota is different?
Why?
Amen, amen. You die in
Sota. Yeah.
You have two amen.
But unless if you have an exclusion that it only is Sota, the rule is we use it for other halachas. In other words, if Sota teaches me through amen and amen, yeah, that you can do Gilgul Shvur, and there's no place in the Torah where the Torah says only Saita is Amen V'Amen. Okay? So, obviously, the concept of Gilgul Shvur would apply all over the Torah. The problem is, the Gemara says, Saita is Isser, and Mammon is money. And normally you don't learn out one from the next. But here the Gemara says there's a Kal V'chomer which would allow you to learn it out. And therefore you would be able to learn it out. But now the Gemara is still not ready. Ashkechan. The Gemara says that only I see Vaday, when Gilgul Shvur only works by a definitive thing. Safik minolon, how do I know that I can even only make somebody swear Gilgul Shvur even on a doubt?
What's the point of Gilgul Shvur?
The husband just wants to make sure she's a decent woman.
Okay. And what's the point in the case of was it monetary?
I want to make sure that you don't owe me money.
So this is not time limit? It should be time limit.
Let's say I think...
If someone don't understand what's the relationship, maybe...
I'll tell you. What happens if... Now we have a litigation. Yeah. Okay, now it's a clear litigation.
We bought a house.
No, whatever. There might have been mixes... Okay. A shamer, whatever this. Well, you have a shvur that you're in bezin that you need to swear, but I have suspicion. I can't prove it. I can't remember, but I have a doubt in my head that you owe me money from a different case. Now, if I just come to you for that other case in bezin, I come to you and said, you know, it might be that you owe me money. Bezin's going to say, go fly a kite. You prove it, and then bezin's not going to make the guy swear because you have a doubt. Okay? But now, the guy's already I'm making you swear now, which is for sure. And I have a suspicion you owe me money on a doubt. Somewhere else. So I say, you know what? While we're swearing, I want you also to swear that you don't owe me money.
How you remember that?
When it comes to money, everybody remembers.
Has
you know, I'm
the...
There's a tesis. Tesis asks the question. the Gemara all over, above a Kama, above a Metzia, above a Basar, all over, there's a concept called Migui. Migui means when a guy says something, I believe him with what he says, because if he's a liar, he could have said a better lie. He could have said a better lie. So therefore, we believe him. There's a concept of Migui in Torah. We believe him with what a guy says, not to take out money, but to get out of paying or shvu or whatever. So the Taisa says, wait a minute, the Gemara is talking about simple people. Who says they're going to think maybe what the scholars of the Gemara thought? What do you say? He could have thought a better lie. Maybe the guy's not so intelligent. He's not going to think a better lie. So Taisa says, when it comes to money, everybody's smart. That's what Taisa says. When it comes to money, everybody's smart.
But what is there? Women in the desert, right? Sometimes it happens. That's why
I think he owes me money from somewhere else. I want to make him swear. So the Gemara says, if you hold of Gilgul Shvu, which we do, so the Gemara is only trying to learn, figure out where we learned it out from, so then I can make him swear.
So it's not just these two cases, it's not just Kaka or Saita.
No. It could be anything. In fact, the Gemara is going to say, Adhechen Gilgul Shvu, how far does it go? But the chiddush of the Mishnah, of our Mishnah, is the Gemara is now sidetracking to figure out where we learn out the concept of Gilgul Shvuah from. But the Gilgul Shvuah that the Mishnah says is if I'm making you swear on metaltolin, I can already throw it on karka, on land, even though normally on land you're not allowed to swear. That's what the Mishnah says. So first we have to establish, what the Gemara is trying to establish, how do we know that the concept of Gilgul, of rolling a shvur b'chlal exists. So Gemara said, we learn not from Saita. So Gemara said, but you can't learn out money from Saita. So Gemara says, it's a kal v'chaymer. Okay? So now the Gemara says, okay, but that's only by definite cases. Definite and definite. How do I know that I can make you swear even on something that I have a doubt about? So Gemara says, safik minolan. How do I know I can even roll over the shvur on something that might be a doubt? So it says, Tanya, because we learned in the Braise. Reb Shim ben Yochai says, Nemer Shvua Bechutz. It says, Shvua outside the Beis HaMikdash, meaning in Beis Din. V'nemer Shvua, Bifnim, and there's a Shvua inside the Beis HaMikdash. What does it mean? So Rashi says, it means there's a Shvua by a Saita. Say that's to swear. That is in the Beis HaMikdash. Then you have Shvur the Torah speaks about when you bring somebody to Beis Din. Also you have to swear. So Gemara says, Ma Shvur Omer Bifnim. Just like by the Saita Shvur. Also by the Ksafik Kavadai. We make the doubt like a definite. Meaning, what's the case by Saita? He says, I want you to swear that you were innocent before also. The husband doesn't know for sure that she was guilty before they got married. Right? It's a doubt. Yet, by Saita, we allow him to make a shvur that she was innocent even after the Kedushin, even though it's a doubt. So the same thing. Af shvur mora b'chutz. The same thing, shvur by a regular bezdin. Also, basafik kevadi, the doubt is like the permanent. Meaning, that we allow a shvur, a gilgul shvur, even on a doubt.
Does he have to be obligated to swear a second time for the past? Possible past?
It's not a second, it's all.
The same one. We say
it's one shvur.
Okay, and you have only have to have that also.
Once that shvur is finished, it's finished. You get to, 10 minutes, by the way, while he's swearing.
You're swearing on that too.
While he's swearing, it.
But can he reject it? So I don't want to swear on that.
No.
Because you don't have a case?
No. No. Once you have a, that's what the whole chiddush of Gilgul Shvuah is. Once I have a case against you, and you have to swear now, with Beis Din making you swear, you can't stop me from going back.
If he doesn't swear, he has faith.
Yeah.
Or that possible.
If he doesn't swear, it means he's guilty.
If you doubt, how come he's sure that you swear? If you doubt something,
I think you owe me money. So you swear, no I don't.
What if
that's the Gilgul Shvuah.
You doubted. I doubted. You owe you money. What's the difference? If you doubted, you forced me to swear it. Or what's the relation? I want to know what's the relation.
I say like this. Right now, you I. I say you owe me $100. You say, no, I owe you 50. You have to swear. Okay? While you're swearing, I say to you, you know what? I think that you owe me money from before.
I cannot say that. I cannot.
You have to swear that you don't.
How should know that?
You should know if you owe me money or not.
That's 10 years ago.
Let me tell you.
Ago.
Let me ask you a question. If I come to you, forget this Gemara. Yeah. I come to you and I say, listen, I think you owe me money.
You think.
Yeah.
You think.
And you say, I don't know.
So
you have to pay me. That means you have to pay.
Huh?
You have to pay.
I don't think so. I say I don't think so.
No, you have to say yes or no.
No.
No,
you think, I think. Why is it?
Because you got to get out of paying.
Yeah. This is when you think, I say I don't think so.
Okay, what happens if I come to you and say, you owe me $100?
What's your proof?
And 1 minute.
So?
And you say, you know what? I don't remember.
So?
You have to pay the $100.
If
I say, you owe me $100. And you say, you know what? I don't remember.
So
what's the din? You have to pay.
So
what are you supposed to answer me? No, I don't.
If doesn't have to say, we can
stand. Huh?
No. Maybe I do.
You don't swear and take money. Swearing is to get out of payment. We learned that.
No, this is swearing is worse than that payment. If you swear, it's more.
Yes, some people would rather pay than swear.
Yeah. You never know that it's swear.
Right. It's Hashem's name and everything. What?
In the current situation, litigation, and then you force me to go to court and to swear.
Right.
And then you take advantage and you roll up something that you think of 2004 or 5 that I owe you money from there.
Right.
If I know that for the current one, you're totally wrong, but for the maybe one of 2005,
that was my question.
I owe you really this $100.
So how does that work?
And you said there's only one shvua.
Yeah. No, the shvu goes like this. The money now I don't owe you. That money I don't owe you. This money I don't owe you. That money maybe I do. In other words, it's one act of a shvu that you just roll it over. But if you say now, let's say you're willing to swear now, a maidimim mixes, I owe you 50, I do not owe you more. And that's what you're going to swear, right? And then you say, but I'm making you swear about the other shvu, and you say, That one I don't remember. Maybe I do.
So
that's the difference that you could do also.
See, maybe
it's not one shvur for both. It's one act of swearing, but it could have many details in it.
It's not just one answer.
Right.
If somebody is swearing, claiming, he wants to, I swear, you have to have some paper, something to show that I won. If it doesn't have any paper, how I should swear that I won?
You have to swear that you don't know.
Maybe
the two situations are just as powerful as the other. Current and the past.
Yeah. It's a din of a shvur. Now, normally, if I come over to you and I say, you owe me $100, and you say, no, I don't.
So
min ha-Torah, there's no shvur. You don't have to pay. I have to prove it. The Chacham made what's called shvur's heses. Because the Gemara says, chazaka, there's a rule. That ain't on them tevei of a enlay. A guy's not going to just go to everybody, you owe me money. I mean, you're talking about normal people. Okay? So obviously, if I'm asking you for money, there's something there. So the Chacham made you swear that you don't. It's not a biblical shvur, it's still a rabbinic, I mean, it's still a shvur, but.
An example of that is like somebody who was in charge of cash register, he worked for somebody on the cash register. He catches them one day stealing from the cash register, but he's always on the cash register. Now he's gonna piggyback, say, okay, I want you to swear that he didn't steal from me before.
There's no swearing in the first case, though. Did he catch him stealing in front of two witnesses?
Or suspect someone.
Yeah, but on the suspicion, you know, can't make him swear. I'm saying, Gilgul Shvua is only when you have a legitimate Shvua on a definite, you can roll it over to a doubt. But on a doubt, you don't have a Shvua to begin with. Gilgul Shvua is only when you have a definitive Shvua on a definitive story, I can roll it over, the Gemara says, even on a doubt, even on a suffix. But if the first case is a doubt, there's no shvur to begin with.
In this case, if the owner knows that the guy stole $200 today, and the clerk is saying, no, I did not. is there an issue of Shavuot or is there not issue of Shavuot?
No.
So he says you...
It's like you owe me $100. He says, no, I don't. Unless it is proof that he stole.
I did not take 200, I took only 200, I took only 100.
It's like the case. It's like the case where they caught a thief. The cops caught a thief. It's a true story. The cops caught a thief that stole from four banks. So he said, "No, it was only three." You know. So.
What name of Hashem do they make him swear?
With the shame, shame Hashem. They darken the room. It's on a safe potato, and it's a spooky. It's spooky, huh? Yeah. Well, he doesn't say Yud Kevavke. He says Aleph Dal Nun Yud. Not. He doesn't say Yud Kevavke. Like we say it. No.
Is there any other cases that you swear money? Who I'm sota?
That the Torah gives you an oath. Yeah, Mashbiyin I say to Hitzadik Valti Rosha. Before Nisham is born, the Hashem gives him a Shvua. But in Halacha for Shvua, I don't think so.
What was the question?
No, do we have any other Shvua besides say to monetary issues?
Right.
Where else would you swear?
When you,
you have a case of a Shvua that what happens, the guy makes a Shvua that I did something or I won't do something. That's neder, no? A shvur, nedar, and shvur.
Doctor swears and
license.
There's no such thing in Torah.
No.
Doctors, lawyers, and president.
No. It's all false shvur. No, but there's, you can't, if a guy makes a shvur, he's not going to put on tefillin. So he's mushpo va'imid ma'ar Sinai. He can't. It's not a valid shvur because he's already pre-sworn from Har Sinai to do it. But you have a guy said, "I didn't eat." You know, the first we learned at the beginning of Shabbos, shvur shtayim shein arba. You know, there's a guy said he did eat. He swore that he did eat and he didn't, or he swore he didn't eat it. I mean, that's an expression of shvur, but that's not this type of shvur. It's more
Malchus.
Right. Malchus. Yeah, those are the case of Malchus. No, there's no. You mean to get out of getting Malchus?
Yeah.
No. Because the only time you get Malchus is if there's two witnesses.
The witness says that he saw him eating hazard. And he claims, no, it wasn't hazard.
It's not going to help. It's not going to help. He would get Malchus anyway. If two witnesses say you owe him money, and you say, no, I don't, it's not going to help.
No,
yeah.
The witness saw him eating something meat.
What doesn't? No, that no, no. So Bezdin, no. So Bezdin, in order to give him Malchus, has to first prove. There's a din. The Rambam brings it down two places. I mean, there's all yeshivish stuff. They're all there. I remember from yeshiva days. The Rambam says that what happens. There's Eidachot Nemen B'Yisurin. One witness is believed, right? Even if it's not a kosher witness. For instance, it's interesting to note, and people don't think about it, you come home to eat dinner at night. Your wife makes you dinner. Yeah? How do you know it's kosher? Halachically. How do you know it's kosher? Because your wife says it's kosher. Yeah? Number one, she's a woman, she's not a kosher witness. And second one, it's only eight echad. You need two shnayim made them. So it says in Halacha, it's interesting. It's dumb. And we take things, because it says, Eidachot Nemen B'Yisurin. Eidachot is believed when it comes to Isser and Hatter. So if you want, and even Psule Eidus are also believed. And they're believed, when they're believed like two. That's the Gemara says. The Gemara speaks about in Saita in different places. When the Torah says, Eidachot Nemen B'Yisurin, Hamina Torah Kishnayim. The Torah believes him like two. So the Marshal, the Rambam's case is chalev, you know, treifa fats. So treifa fats, you get Malchus if you eat it. So what happens
there's a bunch of fats. You know, we don't know what's chaylev. It could look the same. Shuman is the kosher fats. Chaylev is the tarifa fats. One aide comes and says, this is chaylev. Not two. One witness says, this is chaylev. Then a guy eats it. And he was warned by two witnesses not to eat it. And the two witnesses said, listen, I don't know what this stuff is. We just know that he ate it. Okay? So the Rambam says, once the Eid Echad, says it's treif, it's chaylev, it's established chaylev, and then when two witnesses come and say, you ate it, they don't know if it's chaylev or not. They say that you ate it, the guy will get malchus.
Why is it that one
thing
is not for to establish it?
To learn that from Satan, in fact. Be Isurin. By Isurin, the one witness is believed.
Why is that?
The Torah says. Oh, there's a logic behind it. Because you're not extracting money from anybody. To extract money is very powerful. Because you have a chazaka that the money's yours. Right? You're wearing a hat. Yeah? How do you know it's your hat? There's a chazaka. What you have in your pocket, whatever you, is yours. Yeah? Now, I want to break that chazaka. I want to take it away from you. You need a very powerful proof. Because there's a proof against me. What's the proof against me? You're holding it. That's a proof against me. Correct? In order to break and establish proof, you need a very strong, a stronger proof. Whether something is kosher or treif, there's no chazaki either way. It goes even more in halacha. The truth is, even if there's a chazaka, Eid Echad is believed. One second. Hello. Yeah, quick. I'll give you another example where one witness is believed, that people take it for granted. A woman becomes a nida.
Did you turn that thing on?
I didn't turn it off. A woman becomes a nida. She's tameya. She has a chazak of being tamei. She's a chazak of being tamei until she goes to the mikveh. But she has a chazak now that she's tamei. She comes home. She says, I went to the mikveh. Now, you have two witnesses. Two witnesses. She went to the mikveh. You don't have two witnesses. She went to the mikveh. She went to the mikveh. She comes home. She says, I went to the mikveh. She believed, sometimes Eid Echad is believed by Issa and Heter, even when there's a chazak against what she's saying. There's a chazak that she's tmeya. Now she comes along and she says she's believed. So that's the power. So, in other words, even though there's, but the chazak is not the powerful chazak that somebody is holding it and it's theirs.
And why does the shlusha, apishnaim of shlusha, that yakun davar, when do you need three?
You never need three.
Apishnaim of shlusha, it's not a pasuk?
Yeah, but the Torah.
So why does
the Gemara says, im apishnaim lama shlusha, if two or three,
right.
To teach us two is like three. Which means, if one of the two is no good, they're all no good. If one of the three is no good, they're all no good.
Or one of 100, right?
Right. Eid Shabbatul Mksosa Batul Kula.
Why is
that? Zeres HaKosov. It says in the Gemara, Zeres HaKosov. It has absolutely no sense. There are 100 witnesses. 100 witnesses. All kosher witnesses. There's one problem. Two of the 100 are brothers. The din is all 100 and no good. Because you got 98, 99, right?
Mm-hmm. But this I don't get. All 100, they don't come together to testify.
But if they're coming all to testify, they can't testify. That's why it says what happens if a father and a son saw a murder. One goes to Bez and one stays home. Because if they both go, they're going to kill the whole thing. We don't buy a chuppah. Why do you think to exclusion all others? Because there's all the relatives standing under the chuppah. All the non-kosher witnesses.
Okay, anyway, back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says now, Ad Heichan Gilgul Shvua. How far does Gilgul Shvua, I mean, like to what extent can you roll over a Shvua? Amar Avir Amar Av, he says, even if a guy says, they're arguing about money, right? And the guy says, you know what? Yishavali Shein Avdiata. I want you to swear that you're not my slave. I can't come over to you and say, hey, I want you to swear you're not my slave. I mean, it's a ridiculous claim, but the Gemara says, if the guys, they're arguing about money, and the guy says, you know, I want you to swear you're never my slave. So the Gemara says, what? The Gemara thought now, that the guy said, you're my goyish slave. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. Ahu shamutim mishamtunli. The din is, if you call somebody an eved, you put him in the chedim. Gemara says, the Tanya akeid el chavei eved. If somebody calls his friend an eved, ye benidui, he has to be excommunicated. Why? Because he demeaned his friend. He was mavaza his friend. He deserves to be embarrassed by being excommunicated. What happens? You call somebody a mamzer. You call somebody a mamzer. The Gemara says, Sefer Kohar Boim. He also gets 40. Malchus. Why? Because he's basically saying that the man lived with sin, or his parents did. There's no Malchus today. Yeah. By the way, the Gemara says, though, that's less of a crime than calling somebody an Eved. Malchus is less of a crime than excommunication. Excommunication is pretty serious.
What's the difference between Nidui and Chalim?
Huh?
Nidui and Chalim.
Same thing in this practical. What happens if you call somebody a Rasha? Yered Imer Lechayiv, you can compete against him in business.
What?
You can compete against him in business. Yeah. You have permission to compete against him in business.
When, if he's not a Russian,
you can't compete against someone
in business? I'll call you back.
Normally you can't compete against someone in business?
In other words, if he's a good guy.
No, it says... here.
Not like that.
Even though Lepel is what's called Nukama...
No, it's not like that.
What?
We learn that if you have, let's say you have a grocery store in the neighborhood, and somebody comes over and goes to the next...
You can't stop them.
But that's the competition
that
you're talking about.
Yeah. But he says over here, at the bottom, he has a whole discussion. The marshal, the question is, you know, I'll take revenge.
Right.
The guy called me a Russia, I can take revenge and go compete against him. That's revenge. So the Gemara says, Tzad of Guf is different. The guy tortures you, then, but they question halachically, it's very questionable if it's halach, if you're allowed to do it.
Like
they write you not to do it.
Sounds like a thin line.
Yeah, very thin line.
This is called Tzaraguf? Calling someone...
Yeah, you're embarrassing. By the way, in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Yom Kippur, it says, by the dinim, you have to ask somebody mechila. It says in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Yom Kippur, that if you call somebody a mamzer, you have to ask him mechila, not his parents. Oh. Even though l'chayr a mamzer means...
The parents
did something wrong. So it says, you mean him, you don't mean the parents. Unless, if you say you're a mamzer, ben mamzer, then you have to ask parents mechila also,
before
Yom Kippur.
I have to pass away.
To go to the grave, all the shtick. Okay, anyway, sitting so the Gemara... What?
Well, I heard if you embarrass somebody, you financially help
him. That's what the Gemara is saying, you're tired of gufa. But I'm saying, he brings out at the bottom, like this. However, it's not clear if this is accepted halacha. According to Chofetz Chaim, that you can't, and other people say that it's not so simple that you could do it.
Cannot get revenge.
It's based in the Gemara in Yuma that you could, if it went to Tzar de Gufa, but it's not so simple.
The guy's
going
to take and run with it.
What do we compete in business?
Yeah.
What do they mean compete in business? Like take away his customers or what?
No, it says...
What is the exact thing in competing business?
There's certain cases that halachically it says you really shouldn't do it, that type of competition.
it's not good to do. Here we allow him to do even that type of competition.
What's the reasoning?
No, Lamashon Shulchan Aruch, it says what you said. You could open a store next to a store. And you can say, whoever wants to come to you, come to me, come to you, go to you. But it said, Midas Chassidus, it's not the proper thing to do. Still not the proper thing to do. Here we're going to allow him even then.
In business, that's why practically speaking, in business, the best place to have a business is where everybody else is doing the same thing, because buyers come to the market.
That's not what we're talking about.
Okay.
Go. And let me ask you a question. A guy on Pico has a restaurant. And the guy wants to open a restaurant next door, the same food. Was that called good business? Are you allowed to?
I'm talking about like.
You know, are you allowed to?
Like,
I love
it. Enough foot traffic, like we have two supermarkets.
Okay, so that's the whole.